Castle.
Mike Jensen.
How's it going today?
Oh, good. I don't really have any buttholes except for the fact that we pronounced a name wrong last week.
What name did we pronounce wrong?
Well, I will tell you. Tracy Emin. It's not, I said Tracy Emin. It's Tracy Emin. She's also a very well-known artist in the UK. And I don't know art, but I said to the listener that sent it to us that I think all Wikipedia pages should open with someone saying how to say the person's name correctly.
You know, I feel the same way about IMDb. Like, I want IMDb to be like, it's pronounced. Because there's so often that I'm like, I'm going to just give it give this a go.
Right.
I don't know you.
Because I feel like even if you read a lot of things, so like subjects that are not part of my day-to-day life, you're reading them all the time. So in your mind, it's like, no, you say it this way.
Right.
So that's that. And also something that I thought could be kind of fun that we could start doing 7 years into our podcast is because in Sex and the City, they always talk about how they never write about something that hasn't happened to them in real life. And I think for a lot of people outside of New York City don't realize how ridiculous some things are that happen in New York City and how they could be Sex and the City plot points. And I think it's just because we come in contact with so many people every day. So just something fun that happened to me yesterday was I was at a restaurant meeting a friend for lunch and I walked in and the host, I said, you know, oh, I'm here to meet someone. And he said, oh, okay, hands me a menu. And then turns around, hands me a paper napkin, and goes, left nostril, wink. And it was just such
nicer than I guess. Yeah.
I guess, but also like such a wild thing to have. Like he handed it to me first, and I was like, why is he giving me this? Like I would just know. And then he's like, left nostril, wink. And I looked in the mirror, and it was it was not noticeable. It was like, gotcha. It was like you, I don't know. So maybe he's like a nose perv. But anyway, that was all. I guess I just thought like there's sometimes some strange things that happen to us.
It is true. And I feel like we do this preamble sometimes, or I suppose I should say I do this preamble sometimes, that none of this is going to be coming from a place of hate. We've said this over and over again. There's much about this episode that I enjoyed. We actually did kind of exchange thoughts last night, which we don't usually do ahead of time. And you were not looking forward to this conversation. And I am, because I think there are some really interesting things that happen. There are some really ridiculous things that happen. And I suppose part of that is just that life is sometimes ridiculous. And,
yes.
And that's fine.
And my problems are, we'll get to what my problems are. But the first thing I noticed, we're talking about present tense.
Yeah, we have present tense. This debuted July 24th, 2025, directed by Anu Valia. This is like her third in a row. She's really doing some directing here. And written by Julie Rottenberg, ampersand Elisa Zaritsky again. And yeah, we start with Carrie coming home in her new Heidi dress.
Yes. And the first thing I noticed, though, when I pressed play was these episodes are getting shorter.
Wow. And I guess we can talk about it now. This episode is short. Like,
yeah.
We...
Like, Sex and the City short.
Yeah, 100%. Like, these episodes of And Just Like That have tended to be around the 42-minute mark, the 40-something-minute mark. Last week's episode was in the 30-something-minute mark. This episode is solidly under 30 minutes long. It is very short. And not to, like, get to the end first, but I will say right up front that one thing that I noticed... The first time that I watched it is other than the fact that Lisa gets two kind of short scenes, this is all Carrie Aiden. And then other characters get one scene.
And you know who gets no scenes? Steve.
we still don't know.
Like,
Steve.
No one's talking about him. No one cares about him.
Steve, do you think that Steve and Che are off somewhere together?
I hope Steve wasn't in the duffel bag. The first thing I really noticed was not only does Carrie have a new Heidi dress, but she's also bringing home her dry cleaning. And that is something that Carrie struggled with in the original series, was to get to that dry cleaners on time.
This is personal growth.
Good job, Carrie.
Yeah, and she's looking for Aiden, and he's in the backyard with Duncan.
When Duncan should be sleeping.
Yeah, I wrote that as well. I'm like, did he just wake up? Is he just about to go to bed? We don't know.
Yeah, and then... We see Seema waking up in what I'm assuming is Seema's apartment because I don't think Adam would live there.
Yeah.
And Adam kisses her and he put her deodorant on his lips. Which,
oh, I was gonna, I did not understand what was happening.
Well, I don't know why they did this. So I think the idea is he's like, you see what this stuff tastes like. But here's my thing. If you have a thing that you're into that is like perhaps licking and making out with someone's armpit, I don't think they should have to really change their seemingly normal behavior for you. Like, it would even be different if she, let's say, wore like plumping lip gloss and he was making out with her and he was like, that stuff really burns. But to put someone's deodorant on your mouth and then be like, see how bad it tastes? Yeah, like, it's not meant to be put near a mouth.
Yeah, this is a revelation to me, because I literally, having watched this three times, I have in this, like, ask Elise what's happening in this scene.
I mean, I think that's what's happening.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. Like, that absolutely makes sense now.
Right, like, no, it would be like you eating a butt and then being like, do you want to taste hemorrhoid cream? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, like, it's very odd.
Like, the deodorant wasn't for the mouth in the first place. Anyway, then he hands her what I first thought was like soap on a rope, but it's the deodorant crystal. And I don't actually think that's what deodorant crystals look like.
I hadn't seen one like this. I can't imagine they completely made it up, but... Yeah, and I guess also this is a good time to point out that, yeah, Seema also has two scenes. Or maybe, I guess she has a few scenes.
I guess they maybe, I guess what I was thinking of was the brand crystal deodorant. I wasn't thinking of an actual crystal deodorant rock. And they kind of do look like that, I guess.
And in the bathroom, she's going to give it a try, and it's a very short scene. And then we get to, you know, Aiden once went to London to see Chippendales.
Which I immediately assumed was the male review show as well, because I don't know what a Chippendale cabinet is.
Oh, that's funny. I knew that it was a cabinet, and I thought that was a weird joke. But I guess if you didn't know, then maybe that does make sense.
Is it like a type of cabinet or a brand of cabinetry?
I believe it's a brand. It's just a thing that I've been aware of, that Chippendale is a furniture.
It is. It's a furniture brand. Well, yeah. It's a furniture style. It's a classic English furniture. AI overview. It's a classic English furniture style characterized by a blend of Rococo, Gothic, and Chinese design elements.
And how does someone become a pipe smoker? And I do think it's funny, and I get that, like, we're setting up the tension of this threesome conversation, but that Carrie sort of responds when he asks about pipe smoking.
Yeah, but right before this, though, Carrie, finally someone acknowledges the fact that Duncan should sleep, because she does say, oh no, we're keeping you, and he says, it's fine. I just thought that was interesting that, like, okay, we are going to acknowledge that this was a huge plot point in the beginning, and now it just doesn't seem to matter. Yeah, he says that it's a touchstone to the people of the book that he's writing. I guess it's like his writing version of method acting.
Sure. Now it's a nipple, and Carrie says she get it, and I just wrote, and this is tough, and once again, I don't want to jump to the end right away. As someone who spent many, many years in love with Aiden, it's been really rough how insufferable Aiden has become.
Yeah, and the nipple thing, I've never heard this term before. I've never heard the word nipple before. No, I've never heard this term before. And I immediately thought, okay, are they like talking about how a baby bottle, how it's kind of like a crutch? But even the internet didn't really know.
Yeah, it's a strange terminology. And I suppose that is what it is that it's going for like a baby's pacifier, even how like you go to something like this for comfort.
Yeah. And I guess I at first didn't understand what was happening here, because Duncan says, you sound like my wife, my ex-wife. Do you have kids? No, never. And at first I thought Aiden was reprimanding and yelling at Duncan with weird phrases, saying things like, having kids with my ex was the best thing we did. And then I get, oh, okay, I guess that makes sense, because he's trying to say that he's better than Duncan. But I just felt like Aiden was just being mean to Duncan with weird words.
It feels like, and I pardon the term, it feels like a one-sided dick swinging contest. Like, it feels like Aiden is just like, look at what a man I am. And Duncan is like, I don't know what's like, not even that he doesn't know what's happening. He's just not participating. He's just like, I'm just smoking my pipe and having a conversation.
Right.
And Aiden is like, chest out. It's very odd.
And I will say, Aiden is 90 9% the problem in this episode. But I do think it's strange that Carrie has set these parameters like, we do not talk to him.
Yeah, I get that. I get that as well. It does feel like a bit much that, like, we're not allowed to have a conversation with him. And I wonder if that isn't just her getting ahead of what she knows is going to happen.
Right. About, there's been a lot of parallels about the whole, you know, Big and Aiden in the cabin right. thing. Yeah.
And Carrie goes, it says that she's going to go to Seema's office. And I do think it's funny that Aiden almost like sort of stands up to maybe give her a kiss and she's gone.
But then we get to Charlotte's house where Charlotte is dealing with vertigo, Harry is healing, and Richard Burton doesn't know what's going on.
And I suppose it's enough if this scene is just there to give Charlotte and Harry something to do and to maybe give us a moment of levity. This scene doesn't do anything.
No, it doesn't. I mean, Charlotte's trying to clean, but part of me also thinks there's like plates in the bed, which doesn't feel like something Charlotte would ever just have happening. And we do know that Harry is healing well, even though he still has grapefruits or melons. I don't remember what your first yeah. name. Yeah, and that's just kind of it. And now we're at Seema's new office, which seems too big for someone that doesn't have any employees except for Artold.
It seems very, very large, as it is a very large space. She used her savings, and since people stopped going to the office, it's a real estate sample sale, which I guess there is reality in that. Like, there is a lot of unused office space in New York. Like, they're converting a huge office building in Times Square into like studio apartments because people need places to live more than places to work, which I get that.
I do hear that, but is it actually discounted? Because I've heard that they're just leaving them empty.
That's what I think is really happening, is that it's actually more affordable to have an empty building.
Yeah, I don't think they're actually discounting them. No. And they make the comment from WeWork to SheWork, and they got sushi delivered, which I don't know if you noticed this. Two things. Seema and Carrie have gotten sushi together before, which makes me think this might be their thing. And also, it looks partially like it's in your typical sushi to go, and partially in what it would come in if you went to a really nice sushi restaurant.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a mix. And I will also say that I did not realize that this was Artold when I first watched the episode, which is funny because he's very recognizable. But this was the assistant for her ex.
Yeah, she even mentions that in the episode.
Yes. And I, for some reason, like skipped over that. Like I didn't. And even when he says she got me in the divorce, I didn't get right. that the first time that I watched it. So this is Mihir Kumar. He doesn't have a ton of credits. He's in the TV show Elsbeth, which I'm a big fan of. So he's back, and I'm curious to see if he sticks around or if this is just a one and done kind of thing. And I don't know, from WeWork to SheWork, I feel like they think that's more clever than it is. And we've talked about this before, that I feel like they do a lot of like, well, Sex and the City was quirky and we said funny little catchphrases. And I do have a thought of like, maybe that doesn't work now. Maybe we need to evolve our writing.
I think it worked. I've said this many times. I think there's a few reasons why it used to work. I think one of the major reasons is because the style of filming has changed so much. In the late 90s, early 2000s, we were still in that sitcom world. We still had things that did not look as hyper-realistic as they do now. So now we have these TV shows where everything looks so real. And right. everything is so real. And things are longer. So some of that stuff doesn't work as much. And it was also, you know, the characters were younger. They were doing crazier things, I guess. They were in different situations. When Carrie would make a lot of these comments or Samantha, right? Like, we don't have the same over-the-top character either, like Samantha.
Right.
To kind of prompt us into that. But when these people were doing things, it was when they were dating these strange characters. We had a lot of other characters coming in that would spark these conversations. Speaking of which, a butthole Don, the name of the gentleman we couldn't remember was Mr. P-word.
That is the one I meant to bring that up, that I think it was so funny. Because I feel like it was when I was editing it, and it gets to me being like, what was his name? And then I was like, oh, right, it was... Yeah, it was Mr. I think we called him Mr. Kitty and you hated that.
I hate that even more, I think. So yeah, I think that's so much of it because in this world, we have a bunch of established relationships, established people. So a lot of the outrageous situations aren't not happening as much, you know? I don't know. That's my thought. But Carrie does do something she hasn't done in this season, and that's mention John because she says that she thinks Aiden is threatened because she cheated on him with John. and cigarettes.
And it's funny to have her tell the story of the affair and realizing, like, oh, I guess that Seema wouldn't know about this.
Right. They talk about in the podcast that, like, we often think, well, hasn't Seema seen Sex in the City? You know?
Right.
But, yeah.
Yeah. And she didn't want to bring up the past and throw a wet blanket on everything. And this does sort of give us a parallel to the Miranda storyline, that we have two different characters that are both trying not to bring something up.
Sure. But also it's, you have to. Like, this is a huge thing, and you just have to talk about it, or else it's not going to get better. And spoiler alert, it doesn't.
Yeah, and Artold set up a lunch with the Atlas Tower marketing director. There is an Atlas New York at 66 West 38th. I'm not sure if that's what they're referring to. They might just be making up the name of a building for this. And in 40 minutes, the lunch is in 40 minutes at Pelican on the Upper East Side. Is that close to here? And we find out that it's far. Yeah, which makes me wonder where this office is. Did we think maybe it's Tribeca?
Yeah, Tribeca Financial District. I'm trying to think of, like, what would take you a while to get to the Upper East Side.
Because I had that thought as well, that nothing is really more than 40 minutes in Manhattan.
No, unless I can't imagine it's, like, in Inwood.
Right, yeah. So that's fine, though, because Carrie's saying, like, it's going to be tight. I actually really like SJP's line reading of that.
So now we're back at LTW and Herbert's, and he's mad that the whole house is not partaking in his diet that we've never heard of before this episode.
This storyline is so stupid. This line is so stupid, it makes me angry. Like, it's so dumb. And once again, maybe it's meant as levity. Maybe it's meant as, like, look at this really silly thing to distract from the heavy storylines we have.
But, like,
it's
we've never
so
talked
stupid.
About Herbert wanting to lose weight, have we?
Ever.
No, and now he, like, can't have cheese or angel hair pasta, which to me feels like a gentle pasta. Right. And Henry's over there just trying to do a Rubik's Cube. And I like that Henry's like, those are mine. I'm not fat. Like, yeah.
I love it. Henry's the best thing about this scene. He's so good in this scene.
Yeah, and then Lisa's like, go on Ozempic. And I'm just like, why is this scene a thing? I think
it's so weird.
It could be relatable if he brought up, you know, the fact that I can't stop eating. Maybe if he brought up something about it, but the fact that he's shaming the rest of his family, I don't really know what's happening. But anyway, Seema is running to Pelican, which isn't a real restaurant. She's running to Daniel Balud's restaurant.
Yeah, I wrote, now we see Seema running to Pelican, and now I understand the deodorant storyline. I'm like, oh, well, this is why it was a thing, because she's going to be sweaty. Okay, that's fine. Yeah. And I did, it's funny, I didn't have time to actually go by this actual restaurant, but I did like a Google image, and it's weird. It looks like it's closed. I'm sure that it actually is open, but it's a weird timing on it. Because I think it's funny that there are like three signs that say Pelican outside. It feels like overkill, but I think there actually are several signs at Cafe Balud.
Yeah, it's on East 63rd near Park Avenue.
Yeah, and Mr. Salazar is already there. This is AJ Sedino. IMDb should have pronunciations. He's done like every New York show, like Elementary, The Good Wife, Madam Secretary, Younger, Girls, Five Eva. He is very, I don't like him. You know what I mean? He plays that kind of character where I'm like, oh, I think that you seem, I don't, what's the word? Smarmy? Maybe I'll cut that all out. I don't think the actor is like that. Just the way that his characterization is
that
very.
That means he's a good actor, because that's kind of probably what we want. And he comments on the waiter being smelly. And then we see Seema excuse herself. So I'm wondering, was Seema actually the smelly one? Or does that conversation just spark her to remember that she has on a crystal?
I don't know. It's so bizarre, because it does seem like he's reacting to the server. Also, she pre-ordered the truffle pizza. When did she pre-order the truffle pizza?
In the car, maybe, called and said.
I guess so. It's weird.
So then we get to the bathroom and someone's in there.
The single occupancy ladies room, I wrote.
Yeah. And then she gets in there or she's waiting outside, puts the deodorant on, and the woman steps out and is horrified. And Seema's like, I hate being this person. I just feel like this didn't have to be a big thing. You could just go in the corner, like no one. And also, if I saw someone putting on deodorant in a hallway at a restaurant outside a bathroom, I would not think twice, honestly.
It is not in any way comparable to doing it at a table.
Correct.
Yeah, it's so weird. And I, like, unnecessary voiceover about travel deodorant where we have her just, like, talking to her. So, yeah, it's so weird. And I literally the first time thought that she left the restaurant. The second time I was like, oh, no, she's going back to the table. I get that.
Well, now in more weird relationship, we get to Miranda and Joy is asking about her gin. And Miranda isn't telling her, which I'm like, Miranda. And then she tells her. And she says to Joy, the person she's been dating for a while, I was afraid to have it in my house. So she is openly being vulnerable and saying, like, you brought something to my home that I was afraid to have in here. And Joy's first response isn't, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry that I put you through that. I had no idea. It's, so what I'm hearing is my gin is gone.
I guess the reason why that worked for me is because we've sort of established that Joy does not know how to respond seriously.
Correct. I get that.
That everything she says has to kind of be like a joke. Because I actually then appreciated that the next thing she says is, I need a minute. Because I can almost sense her being like, I'm going to say the wrong thing. I'm going to make a joke. I'm going to be inappropriate. How do I say what I'm actually feeling?
No, and I understand that in the moment, I'm like writing this as I am watching it. So I think that I was a little bit like, oh, and then we find out that, you know, Joy says it will be a challenge because when she has a drink in front of Miranda, she will feel bad. And I started getting mad, but then I didn't because she says she doesn't like feeling bad. And maybe that's why she drinks, because she feels bad. And she has baggage, but that's great because Miranda has a room, an extra room. I don't have room for your baggage, Mike. I have a studio. Yeah,
that's okay. In the end, I ended up liking this scene. It was a thing that as it was happening, I thought it was a very complicated, it's obviously like a complicated conversation to have, but I did get to the end of it being like, okay, all right, at least they're talking, at least they're sharing what they're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're in the editing room with Lisa and Marion, and we have Mumbet. This is Elizabeth Freeman. She was one of the first enslaved African Americans to file and win a freedom suit in Massachusetts. And while this storyline is ridiculous, I will say again, I'd like to watch this miniseries.
Mm-hmm. Well, it gets interrupted because Herbert calls to say he's gained a pound. Lisa's like, Ozempic, bye, and that's it.
What? It's just, please let that be the end of this storyline.
Yeah, I'm over the Herbert wait storyline.
It's so weird. And then we get to Carrie giving notes and that it's almost like she's not a little girl. And I do think this is to set up, and they do sort of say this, that it's to set up that Carrie knows what she's talking about.
Yes. I actually thought
that
too.
She has things to say. Yeah.
Yeah. When they were talking about that, I'm like, that's very smart, Carrie Ryder.
Right.
And Aiden knocks at the door and he's like, hey, I got steaks. Should I start the broiler? It's 8:30. She wants him to start without her because it might be late, and he keeps offering to feed Duncan. And there's two weird things here. Number one, Carrie has told Aiden multiple times not to wait for her in these situations, that it's going to take a long time. And also, Carrie keeps being like, Duncan doesn't want food. We do not feed Duncan. Like, that was very strange. Like, Duncan's probably sitting there thinking, I don't want my stew anymore. I'd like a steak.
Right. Yeah, it's weird. She's not sure when she's coming up. He'll wait for her and he kind of presses dinner and then eventually leaves. And it's just awkward. It's just an awkward scene. And I guess that's the point of it, is that this is an awkward situation. And now we're at dinner with Anthony and Gia. I don't know. We found out that his place is rent controlled.
Which is wild. If you don't live in New York City, rent controlled means your rent never changes. Like, they ended rent control years and years and years ago. So if you have a rent controlled apartment, I mean, you're paying nothing.
Right.
Rent stabilization often call it rent controlled, but rent stabilization just means that they can only raise your rent a certain percentage a year.
So you do kind of wonder what he's paying for it.
And yeah. What I thought was interesting is he says that he's going to renovate. He doesn't like the butter yellow walls, which I only caught because butter yellow is the color of the year, like the color of the summer that all the girls yes. want. So I just think it's interesting that the one color that's like hip in 2025, he's like, hate it.
Yeah, I wanted to take a picture of in the subway. There's the ad that's like, how to add butter yellow to your wardrobe. It's like, start with a scarf, then add a shirt. And I'm like, what is happening? Like, what is this ad campaign?
Yeah, he made risotto.
This scene is insane. Again, because of the swings, like, is Gia bipolar maybe? Like, the swings that this character goes through of, like, I haven't been easy on you. Like, she admits, I haven't been easy on you. And then he asks what the problem is. And then we do get to her saying that she became a full-time nurse. That she was the young lover to a dying old man. And don't you want Giuseppe to be in a world of beautiful things? And then out of nowhere, it's let's cut the shit. Like, it's just like the swings in her personality in this scene are wild to me.
I mean, she also we also find out that Anthony is 62, which is something we wanted to know. Also, I want to take a moment for those salt and pepper shakers. Those are Tom of Finland salt and pepper shakers. I'm only aware of this because at the restaurant which I work, there are a lot of decorative bottles of wine. And one of them they had was a Tom of Finland wine. And it just was like pretty vulgar. And I'm like, this is interesting. And then I went on a Tom of Finland rabbit hole, who is a Finnish artist. He made a lot of like erotic masculine art. Yeah. And she doesn't have an accent anymore and wants to know how much he will take to get out of Giuseppe's life. And then Anthony's like, I know who you are. You're my Aunt Michelina, Boston bookie with a beard. And I was wondering, is he saying his Aunt Michelina has like a fake gay husband or facial hair?
I had the same thought, okay. But I wasn't sure which one he meant.
Yeah, me neither.
And then she gets up and yells and swipes everything off the table. And he says that she needs a good therapist. And then she seems to regret it.
Yeah, she says to get his old man ass out of her son's life with his salt and penis shakers. And then this is all, I think, so that she regrets. I think the reason she regrets it is so that we can have the moment of her picking things up. One of the things being the large knife and Giuseppe to walk in and see her with the knife. And this is actually in my notes. It says, and then Giuseppe comes in and she has a knife. I don't think this episode is very good. That's what my notes say.
It's just wild. This, because we start with her being mean and then go to her saying, I've been hard on you. And then go to her dropping the axe and tell him to cut the shit and throwing things on the ground, to her apologizing and saying that she'll pick it up, to her then like telling her son that she's going to cut him off financially. It's just a crazy scene.
And Anthony's hallway smells, which is true. There are a lot of hallways in New York that smell, I think, from like various cat pee and garbage. Do they live together, Anthony and Giuseppe?
Well, we say that he says that he has his own place, that he has his own very small loft.
Probably live together.
Probably.
Because he's not going to get money. So now Carrie is coming back into her house. Aiden hasn't cooked the steaks. No one's going to put them away. We're going to waste them and they're going to probably stink up that house. You're mad about it.
I get it if it's just meant to be a visual, but it makes me... it's so hard to not say the F word. It makes me insane. Why are there two raw steaks sitting on your counter? Like, it's in... it is out of touch with reality. Like, it makes no sense to me.
I mean, I think Aiden did it to show her...
sure, look what you made me do. It makes me crazy. And Aiden's in bed and she's glad he's still up. And I guess that a lot of this episode is, if one thing had gone differently, we wouldn't end up where we are. Because we do have her in this moment kind of apologizing, kind of saying, you know, I would have come up sooner, but it was me giving him notes and he's been so generous with me that I felt like I needed to give this back to him and thank you for understanding, and her sort of lying on him. And then his reaction, literally, I thought that I was like about to set myself on fire. Like, his horrible, like, get away from me.
You smell like smoke. Take a shower. And here's the thing that I was infuriated by. It's such a... he is treating her as if she came home from a sex party where she was chain smoking and cheating on him. And I'm not saying sex parties are bad. I'm saying if you and your partner have not discussed this, that's a different story.
Right.
And that she came home and it's like, I'm sorry, wasted. I won't do it again. No, you're the one, Aiden, that actually slept with your ex-wife. She was just downstairs editing books and has told you every step of the way what's happening, a-hole. And I'm thinking you smell like smoke is just a reminder that he hates smoke and she cheated on him once with cigarettes. So she goes to sleep in the cat's room and he wonders why she's in there. Because you were an asshole.
You were a fucking asshole. Like, his reaction is so angry, like so anger making in me. And yeah, him saying come to bed and she's like, no, good night. Yeah, shut the door.
Yeah. And also, is that bedspread in the cat's room reminiscent of her old bedspread? It looks very similar.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't notice.
Yeah,
I like
the
idea
that it is.
Yeah,
it's not the same, obviously. But so then he's downstairs making breakfast. And this is something that I know is Carrie Bradshaw, but just felt, as someone with long hair, unrealistic. She goes to sleep with wet hair. Carrie has naturally pretty curly hair. Goes to sleep with wet hair. And then comes downstairs in the morning in a full blowout and dress and is going for a walk. We have different ideas of walking outfits, I think.
Yeah. And his thing of like, fine, I'll stay mad too, which I get that is very realistic of like, he has decided to wake up and pretend like none of this has happened.
Right.
And she's not playing that game. And then he immediately has to be like, well, if you're mad, I'm going to be mad too.
Right. And I mean, I think a lot of the mistake was her telling Aiden not to talk to Duncan because that activated his insecurity. And she's convinced he wanted Duncan to talk to him to figure out if there was something going on between them.
Which I'm sure is true.
Right. And now Aiden is calling back to the Sex and the City series where they're both going to go for a walk. And he throws a spoon at the coffee pot. Did he turn the stove off? I hope so.
And then even just like the go for a fucking walk, you know, I hate the smell of smoke. I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. And now she's shoe shopping and Daniel is slammed, but will be right with her. And she's just looking today. And I guess that, I mean, this is not the first time that Andy Cohen has played. He was just shoe salesman in the episode Let There Be Light. And now he has the name Daniel. And yeah, I guess the story behind this is just that, like, they knew they were going to have this scene. This filmed at Bergdorf's, and he originally was a shoe salesman at Barney's, and it is brought up that, like,
and Barney's closed.
Yeah, like, you go, that is a thing, that if you're a shoe salesman and your place closes, you are often then a shoe salesman somewhere else. And this kind of came down to them being like, hey, do you want to be an extra? If so, be at Bergdorf Goodman's at 5:45 in the morning, and he was game for that.
And Mike couldn't do that, because if he went to Bergdorf Goodman, they would ask him to leave.
I know, that's what I thought.
And then Carrie gets a text from Aiden saying to meet her for lunch at that place they love. He should be more descriptive, because if someone just, if like Mark texted me, hey, meet me for lunch at the place we love, I'd be like, uh-oh, do we have different ideas?
I'm going to need you to be more specific.
Yeah. But she gets there. He ordered her an iced tea, and they're at Tartine, which is on 11th and West 4th. And fun fact, this is actually right around the corner from where the Carrie Bradshaw apartment is.
I am going to mention that a little bit later on as well, because I do think that it's funny how close they are. And he says that he hates to admit it, but he does have trust issues with her and other men.
And she says have or had, and he says it's just a word. He's not a writer like her in Sherlock Holmes. Don't be a child, Aiden.
Yeah, I've done nothing. Do you hear yourself? And him saying, can you fucking blame me? And Carrie dropping the rare F-bomb as she says back to him, can you stop fucking blaming me?
Yes, I love that line.
I love it too. It's so good. And she gets up as their iced teas arrive, and I wrote, she's gonna walk to her old place.
And I was just like, where's that iced tea? And then it comes as they're yelling. They've made it awkward for the waiter. And now they're running away. And the waiter's probably like, I hope they pay for these iced teas.
Yeah, I do hope that he goes back and pays for them.
And this is like, I'm sure Mike and I have mentioned this before, but I have seen people get divorced at restaurants.
Yeah. People have it out in restaurants. Like,
and then you have to sit there and like, you can't really say anything because there's always one person left who like finishes eating and has to pay the check. And you can't really say much. And she says,
how dare you? No, really, how dare you? How is it possible that I haven't earned your trust by now? I have done everything to show you how fully committed I am to you. I have moved mountains and apartments. I am I have agreed to arrangements that even you yourself couldn't live up to. I was 100% in, 100%, and still you...
Wait, stop, you, no. Was or are, because you just said I was 100% in, so is it was or are you still 100% in?
Was. I can't give you any more than I have, and it wasn't enough. And there's all the family stuff. I'm sorry, but there is.
I need 100.
So do I.
And then he says, I need 100%. Well, she gave you 100%.
Right.
She was giving.
Yeah.
It just wasn't enough for you. So it's not that you need 100%, Aiden. You need 125%, and you want to be able to give 75%.
Well, and I also think that, and this is a thing that I've thought for years, you kind of can't reap the benefits with the person you learned the lesson from.
Sassy.
And I just mean that, like, you kind of have to take this knowledge and use it with someone else. And it bums me out. And, you know, the line where he says, I'm sad, I really thought we were going to make it this time, is directly from John Corbett, that he said that to Michael Patrick King, that when Michael Patrick King told him the arc of the story, that John Corbett said, oh, that makes me sad. I thought they were going to make it this time. And
well, and what to kind of say what you said, I think you can reap the benefits from someone you will learn the lesson from if you are both willing to move forward. Or if you have open dialogue throughout the new relationship, right? Like, even in, because in relationships, in long-term relationships, you learn lessons from each other. And there are often times when I say to Mark, like, I'm sorry I'm acting this way. I think it's because early in our relationship, XYZ happened. But we talk about it, you know? And I think so much of what Carrie and Aiden were doing this time is not talking about things because they didn't want to ruin this magical thing that they had. And so maybe it's because, like you were talking about with in the podcast, they reference this too, relationships that end, years go by, and they try to magically do it all. A lot of times that doesn't work out, but also sometimes it does. Their iced teas are melting, and the song that's playing right now is How Did It End by Taylor Swift. And honestly, I'm confused too, because, like, how did this end? Like, I just don't, I understand wanting it to end and why it ended, but it was just a weird way to end it, with Aiden making it seem like Carrie didn't do enough.
Well, and I think that, you know, the point is also made that sometimes it is just that random little thing that is like, oh, this is how it's going to end. Like, I think about, you know, I don't know how much I want to say, but like when I broke up with my ex, we'd been having trouble for a few months and it was the dumbest little thing that I was like, that's it. Because we kind of both knew that it was over. And I feel like that's sort of how it is with this, that I was amazed when I got to the end. I was like, oh, that's it. Oh, wow. That's the end of them. Because it happened so much faster than I thought it was going to. I think we all kind of saw that it wasn't going well.
Sure. But I guess for me, I just thought it was strange that the way Aiden says, I need 100%. And I'm like, you were getting 100%. That's what kind of frustrates me.
And I get that. And it's funny that even I, in some ways, hadn't put it all together of her saying, like, all the things I've done for you. Like, that she literally moved for him. She set up a home for him and his children. She was going along with these rules that seemed crazy that even he couldn't live up to. And yeah, they talked about how this, there were many different endings. There were much angrier endings. There were much, like, even the fact that she hugs him in the end was a choice that was made of, like, we don't want to end this endings are terrible. Like, breakups are terrible. How can we end this with it not being like the worst possible version? And yeah, and I wrote, she takes the Virginia postcards down as Taylor Swift starts singing a song I assume is called A Little on the Nose. Like, it is very, in the moment.
She could have no memories of Virginia in that house.
Yeah.
And do we ever find out what was in those duffel bags?
I know. Crazy. No. Nuts. Yeah. We have no idea what he packed.
Hi, Shu.
And Shu is there.
Hi, Shu. Yeah, and...
Hi, Shu.
And now she is running in, like, a reminiscent of Sex and the City way to San Sabino for dinner with the ladies.
Yeah, I wrote, we get fabulous Carrie walking to San Sabino, formerly Benny's Burritos, or was it Harry's Burritos? I used to love this spot. It was one of the burritos. I think that Harry's was Upper West Side and Benny's was this one.
Harry's was Diane West Side. And yeah, Benny's Burritos was in the West Village.
I loved it.
Yes, and Harry's was on the Upper West Side.
I miss it. And
I do too.
So we get, you know, the woman thought she and her love were in the present, but now realize they were still locked in the past, which of course meant they had no future.
And I think that makes more sense. The fact, I don't think it was about them not giving 100%. Actually, Carrie gave more than 100% this time around. Aiden didn't give 100% this time around. But I don't think it was about the present. I think it was more about he couldn't get rid of 100% of the past. That was what it is. He couldn't let go.
Also, I do feel like we've sort of seen that Aiden is a character who is not very adaptable. That, like, he knows what has to be done. He knows the way things should go. And he's not good at going, okay, well, maybe I need to look at this from a different angle.
Yeah.
And the three ladies are already there, and someone got her a cocktail, which is technically against policy, but okay.
No, you shouldn't serve a cocktail to someone that's not there. No, and people are always like, that's outrageous. And I'm like,
no, it's actually normal. Like, yeah. I don't know who this person is.
They could be a baby. They could be a drunk baby.
A drunk baby can't have another cocktail.
No.
And I will also say that this final restaurant is also, like, blocks away from the last restaurant. Like, this is all, like, in one very small area. I don't know. I guess I couldn't help but wonder how this happened so quickly. Yeah, it just went from things were fine to, like, it's over so quickly, which I guess I get is a thing. But I was shocked by how quickly it happened.
I mean, I guess for me, I understand it because in the writer's room, they were saying this is how it was never going to last. And we only have, like, 3 or 4 more episodes left. So, and has it been renewed for season 4?
It has not. No, we have 3 episodes left and no idea if it's going to go past that.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I still couldn't help but wonder about those duffel bags. And
yeah,
Steve.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
And hopefully they're not.
What if Steve is
linked
in the duffel bags? Did we already entertain that?
That's what I just said. Okay. I hope they're not linked.
All right. And the next episode is called Better Than Sex. So we'll see what that has what that has in store for us.
Okay.
All right. Oh, and next week is the week that I'm out of town for the weekend. So the next episode will be out probably Monday evening, hoping.
And I have one of those too, and we'll talk about it when we stop recording.
All right. Okay. Talk to you later. Bye. For more information, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at We Couldn't Help But Wonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation. You can listen to my other podcast, Mike and Vanya Can't Not, wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. We would love it if you would share this podcast with someone, put up a link, or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review there. As always, take care of yourself, and let's take care of each other.
I don't know what's happening, but I'm spinning.
I dropped you to the floor.
Oh.
I will also say that it's not a big deal. The reason why I dropped the phone earlier was because I had to, like, take a screenshot. Because now you're in the frame. I'm just looking at your wall for the most part.
I guess I can hold it and then you can look at me.
No, you know, it doesn't, I just thought it was funny. That, like, I'm literally just like, it's just me looking at your wall.
I'm trying to find a nice way to put it. Because I do think you should see me. I am nice. It's hard, though. I can't. Anyway.
Yeah, he's in the back. He's in the background. Nope. He's in the backyard.
Sorry, my mom is
Bye.
Calling me.
Hey, Sally.
I understand that. Oh, my gosh.
And now we're in the editing room with Lisa and Marion. Oh, and I'm going through the change.
Marion.
Yeah.
That was what it is. He couldn't let go. Sorry.
What's that? What happened?
I don't know. Motorcycle outside? Something tooted.
I do feel like we've sort of seen that Aiden is a character who is not...